You're listening to Underground Sports Philadelphia.
Top ends, back at it again.
Back. Yeah, we don't have the audio up on SoundCloud for the last one, but you know it's all right. We'll go on our Facebook page, watch that.
So we're wrapping up some European action. Last time we left off, we didn't get to talk about the first leg of the Champions League: Liverpool, Roma, Real Madrid, Bayern. We'll start with Liverpool, Roma.
You're a very happy man.
A happy and very nervous man. This is Monday, so they play tomorrow, being Tuesday. And the Sixers play tonight. Liverpool plays tomorrow. And then Liverpool play Chelsea on Sunday.
This could either be
the worst week of my life or the best.
You're very stressed.
And I'm not being dramatic when I say that. This will either be the worst I've ever felt in my entire existence, or I'll be in bliss. Who knows? Last week, though, was some of the best I think I've seen Liverpool play, and that's saying something because we've played really well at stages of the season. Up until like the 80th minute, we were up 5-0 against Roma. You know, what more could you ask for besides a clean sheet, which we didn't get? Two away goals isn't great because it obviously gives them a little bit of a lifeline going back into Rome. And, you know, conceding the first goal, you sort of expected that, you know, that they would eventually dink one in to Dzeko and he'd be able to settle it and score. The second goal was a little preventable in terms of conceding a penalty, and from that stage, you know, not being able to save it sucks, but I still feel confident. You know, you're taking a 3-goal lead into Rome. If you had asked me that, you know, if I was cool with that on Tuesday, I would have said absolutely.
I honestly don't think that Roma can keep Liverpool from scoring and even up the aggregate.
They did do it against Barcelona, which gives me pause, and they've had such a great home record in the Champions League. They beat Chelsea at home. They drew Atletico at home. And obviously, they beat Barcelona at home. I don't think they conceded goals in any of those games. They're definitely a different team when you get back to the Stadio Olimpico, and it's going to be difficult for us, but again, you know, a 3-goal advantage, we should be able to hang on to that. We were able to do it at Manchester City under greater pressure, and I think by a far better side. So I don't see any reason why we can't. The only negative thing is that we're injury ridden at probably the worst time in our season. Oxlade-Chamberlain hurts his knee in the first leg, has to come off. Wijnaldum played great though coming on. You couldn't have asked anything more of him. To come on into, you know, a crucial Champions League tie than to play the way he did.
I've always been a fan of his, too.
I love him. I like him. He's definitely a fan favorite.
Jorginho.
Da-da-da-da-da. Genie, why not? We literally have three healthy midfielders, Milner, Henderson, and Wijnaldum, and we play a three-man midfield. Ox, Lallana, and Emre Can are all injured at the moment, which is not great, and obviously that leaves our bench even more thin. So should something go wrong, or should we just need to change something up, or to you know, have a different outlook, or God forbid someone gets hurt again? We're very thin, which is worrying. Mane also had an injury, wasn't able to play at the weekend against Stoke, which was a disappointing draw. Hopefully he's back like healthy and full to go. He seems like he is, but
then again, you know, I think league hopes aren't pretty much watched.
Well, we still need to wrap up Champions League. So we
that's what I'm saying. You know, focusing on the you can kind of give rotation players the lead time now, and really focus on the Champions League.
I was really hoping Roma would have a tough weekend against Chievo. I don't know what I was thinking.
You know, your boy, you know, is pretty much putting the, like, all the doubters to shame now.
Who?
Mo.
Yeah, so he had the chance to break the record against Stoke this weekend, which is a bummer. He had a clear
1v1. He'll get it.
I sure hope so. But back to Champions League, going into Rome, 3-goal lead. I just have to feel confident about this. I really feel like we'll get an away goal at least, and that's gonna, you know, it's not gonna cancel out their away goals. We need two, obviously, for that. But I feel like we'll put the pressure on, and it's gonna be a rough one. And I'm gonna be clenching the entire time.
You know, I think my biggest takeaway, being a Calcio guy, basically the Calcio community is in case you guys don't know. The Calcio community is basically everybody that watches Serie A, so any Italian American or anybody in Italy. But you know, most of those guys are really rooting for Roma because it's the only Italian team left in there. However, I am not, for a few reasons. One, their fans were completely classless. I think
they did. There was an assault on Sean Cox, Liverpool fan, who just now actually I think got out of his coma. This is good. Good news, obviously, but. We could see some unfortunately ugly things tomorrow. Yeah. Liverpool fans going to Rome, and Roman fans do have a history of just, stabbing. They're
Roman fans are worse than Neapolitan fans, and it's just, you know, my buddy Phil on Twitter, you know, he's a Napoli fan, and over the weekend with, you know, Napoli failing to really, they're choking in the league right now. But you know, the Rome fans let him have it.
Yeah,
they made a parody account for him. They started attacking his girlfriend on Twitter, and you know, they're just doing a lot of, you know, gross things, and you know, I can't support a team like that, even if, you know, they are the only Italian team in there. I just can't do it. It's not in good taste.
Yeah, you know, it's weird too. Is I'd always loved Roma too. This was always a team that I had enjoyed watching. Yeah, like when I watched Serie A, like this was the team I think I gravitated to. The most. I always loved Totti. He was one of my favorite players.
Yeah, he's a legend.
So it's a little weird, but look, that period from like the 25th minute till the 70th was some of the best we've played, and if we can play even at half that ability, I feel really good. They played a three at the back, which was suicide against us. I can't imagine that he's going to make that mistake again. I feel like they'll go four back, probably 4-3-3. They looked better when they switched that late game.
They're better with four backs anyway.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
But even then, Fazio is known for being rather slow, and he got caught out a few times. They were making some mental mistakes too. The pressure was really on. It really could have been 7 or 8. We just weren't as clinical, and Alisson had some really nice saves.
Yeah, but like we said, I think that, you know, even though Roma is good at home, I think that there's I don't think there's no way that Roma, even though they're very good at home, keep Liverpool from not scoring.
I wouldn't say there's no way, because they did against Barcelona. That can't be forgotten. Obviously, Barcelona came with a much more conservative game plan, and I think we're just looking to see it out, and I don't think approach it with the right gravity. And obviously, they've struggled in the Champions League.
That's just the biggest wild card, is because they did this all against Barcelona. But honestly, let me ask you this: is Barcelona still the team that they used to be? I don't think they are.
They're about to go invincible in the league, which is a big deal. The problem with Barcelona is that outside of Messi in the Champions League specifically, they have no attacking talent. You talk about especially in that first leg against Roma, they had two own goals. You know, if they go back into Rome and it's 2-1 and Rome's able to come back and win 3-0, it's not really that big of... But you think about it, like, those out of those four goals, two of them were just sort of unlucky bounces.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like... The difference is that we completely outplayed Roma in our first leg.
Yeah.
Whereas Barcelona, if you watch that game, yeah, the scoreline was 4-1, but it really, really wasn't that big of a gap between them. And, you know, you could say that Roma were unlucky to concede, you know, the two goals that they were. So we'll see. I mean, I think again, if we play like we did last week, we'll have absolutely no problem, and we'll be through to a Champions League final, which would be pretty amazing.
Moving on to the sorry.
No, yeah.
Moving on to the second matchup, Bayern Real Madrid. I was high on Bayern for this. However, they lost 2-1. What I want to talk about first was wasn't there a penalty that should have been called that was a no call? Lewandowski takes it into the box on the touchline. It looks like he's tripped in the box.
I didn't buy it. The problem with this is that Real Madrid have some sort of curse on other teams that, or they have some sort of blessing for themselves in terms of luck, because again, you saw this against Juventus too, that Real Madrid were outplayed for large stretches of that tie, and you know, obviously they needed a late goal by Ronaldo to even go through. Talk about this Bayern game, like Bayern, it just seemed like We're possessing the ball a lot, and we're moving it around so well. Obviously, they had a lot of injury problems. Robin had to come on after, I think, only like 6 minutes. He got injured. Boateng pulled his groin and had to come out in the first half as well.
When you're playing the same 11 for literally every single cup match.
They rotated pretty heavily in the league the weekend before.
Well, the league, obviously, but you know, the cup matches, and like domestically and European, they're playing
they've been rotated pretty well, and they just got pretty unlucky with injuries, because Coman was out as well. I think Lewandowski actually got a little banged up too, and Hamas too. Like they're in a bad spot, because Robin doesn't seem like he's going to be back. Boateng doesn't seem like he's going to be back. We'll see what happens. Bayern got punished for mistakes in this game. That was the clear one. They start out, it seemed like it could be going their way. Joshua Kimmich gets
a nice goal.
I'm not sure if he meant to do it or not. There's some debate about whether or not he was trying to cross and just mishit it, or if he was playing Navas with his eyes and got him to bite early. Nonetheless, they start out 1-0. But
when he snuck it in, right?
Yeah. But Real, man, there's just something about this team that's just in the Champions League. I don't like to get too much into like the intangible stuff, but there's something about them that's just resilient, or again, there's got to be some voodoo or something. Like I don't know what it is. They're able to pull off these results
when you have the team that they have. I mean, and the Champions League experience of some of those guys. Yeah. You know, they've been at this point. They've been to finals multiple times.
They won two straight. Now.
So you know, they just know what it takes. I think. They just, when you got a guy like Ronaldo and you got midfielders like Modric and Kroos and defenders like Sergio Ramos, you don't make those mistakes all the time. And you know that you just dig deep, you shake off whatever happened, you know, a couple minutes earlier, and just, you know, keep playing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, like you have on your computer, they're clinical. And I think that's the thing. They are, you know, they come in and they just get the job done.
I mean,
you saw it against Juventus with the bicycle kick. It's the same thing. You know, you don't give up. Ronaldo's not going to give up. He did
lose a streak, though, for I can't remember how many games it was straight that he'd scored in the Champions League. I think it was something ridiculous, like 12 or 13.
But, I mean, you throw a cross in the box, he's going to make every, you know.
He did score. It was offside. No, it wasn't offside. It was a handball, and it was a clinical finish. Like, but just speaking on the Madrid goals, the Marcelo goal is sort of a broken play, and he just latches onto a half volley, you know, right on the edge of the penalty area.
Yeah.
And it's like a beautiful finish. Yeah. And it's just, you hit something like that, like one out of like 20 times.
It also seems that he's always the one that delivers the knockout blow too. Like his goals are always deciding goals.
Well, even though
his goal wasn't the second goal, but like,
yeah,
you could still count that broken play and him coming in at the right place.
It's his fifth goal of the season, which is one of the highest tallies for him. And then, Isco actually comes off at halftime, which was sort of interesting. I didn't think he had a great first half, and maybe they just wanted a different look. Asensio, typically when they bring Asensio on, he's sort of left to drift a little more wide. And Rafinha, it's off a corner, tries to settle it. David Alaba was out due to injury. So Rafinha had to fill in at left back, and it showed, because he tries to sell this with he's a little awkward for him because it's on his weaker side, so he tries hitting it with his stronger foot. It gets intercepted. They go the other way. It's Asensio and Vasquez just playing 1-2 with each other. And Asensio just, it's a beautiful finish in the end. And that's the killer blow in like the 58th minute.
Random question. Who do you think is going to be better, Isco or Asensio?
Isco, it feels like we're already seeing sort of the finished
Or is that product. Because of him playing at Real Madrid?
Are you talking, like, if Isco went somewhere else, he'd yes. be a better player? The problem is, like, I don't know where he would go, where he'd have the opportunity to play.
Manchester United.
I don't know if he's physical enough to do what he's able to do, and I don't know that he'd be have the space. Like, you talk about Pogba, the reason that he hasn't been able to play as well at United is he doesn't have the space like he did in Italy, and True. Obviously he's not playing in as good of a midfield like he was with Juventus, and that's part of the reason that he struggled. You know, this was a guy that was really creative on the ball and could score and so then, was playing in beautiful passes, and he's hasn't looked like that consistently enough.
How old is Isco? He's
25 or 26.
Then if he's fallen out of contention, I don't want to say he's falling out of contention because obviously he's starting, but I think he's being held back a little bit from
Isco's, you know, 26.
The freedom that he could have with Real, and maybe go to Italy for a year or two, and then
where's he gonna go in Italy though?
Napoli or Juve?
Nah, I don't see it. I don't think he even leaves Real Madrid. I think he plays enough there that it's not like he's stretched for game time. Modric is old. Cruz is getting up there in age.
That's true, too.
That's a midfield that, outside of those two, is really young. And they've done, I think, a lot of smart business. You talk about Asensio. He's, you know, he's super young. And he's, especially last year, shown that he can step up in big moments. And he's going to be a really bright talent. I think just based off that alone, like, I think you have to say Asensio has a higher ceiling just because he's younger, and you know there's more potential there. Isco though by no means has been a bad player, and I think he gets undeserved criticism at times.
I agree.
But that's sort of life at Real Madrid, isn't it? You know, you saw it with James, right? He's gone to Bayern now. And
especially
he's played really well.
You're also, you know, it's your home country too, so you're going to be a little more under the microscope by the national media and everything, because you know they also care about how you're going to play for Spain. So,
and I mean, he plays really well for Spain.
Yeah, he really does. So
that hat trick early in the year,
and I think that's what also brings up the questions about him at Real, is he's so good internationally, and then I don't want to say you don't, because I don't want to use the absolute, but you don't always see the same kind of performances from him club-wise, and that's the reason why I want to bring it up, because you know he may be getting frustrated, or you know people may be bringing up questions again.
I think the biggest
it's better to sell high now than try to sell him when you know he's a little older.
I think though,
if
you're talking
off.
About people that might be leaving Real this summer, I think Benzema and Bale are more likely.
Agreed.
Benzema was on the bench, Bale was on the bench as well. Benzema came on in the second half, actually looked pretty good for what it's worth, but he's had a really poor season. Even though his role is typically to open up space more for Ronaldo and Isco when he's playing, or Asensio or Vasquez is ever more playing on that wing, even Bale.
No.
But he has just not been producing the goals or even assists, really, which you need from your center forward. So someone that could potentially be, you know, out the door. But Real Madrid, I mean, you look at it, they haven't been buying players like they used to. They haven't been going for, you know, the big flashy guy in the summer. They do have a history of buying, you know, like
they'll probably do
someone
they'll,
from
they'll
who performs really
year.
Well at the World Cup. Yeah, they do have do that history, and I wouldn't be shocked. But they have been buying young, and I think buying pretty smart. So
yeah, I think that is smart.
What's your prediction though for Bayern Real Madrid? They play Wednesday. This is in.
It's tough, but I think Real's going to come out. They're going to hold it off. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know the exact score. I haven't been watching a lot of soccer recently. I've just been keeping up with like results and things like that. So, I don't know. I think Real wins that one. I think Liverpool wins their tie, and
we get a Liverpool Real final.
It's wonderful.
Sexy matchup.
Wonderful.
I think this is 1-1 in the second leg. I don't see Real, they have a depleted squad at this point.
Comes and just has to set up shop and do business. Yeah. They could care less, you know. If they give away an away goal, they're still up on aggregate by away goals.
Yeah.
You know, they just have to set up shop and just do it.
Let's just go to Europa League really quickly before we get into some domestic stuff. I just want to talk about Arsenal Atletico 1-1.
1-1.
Red
cards on both sides too, which is funny. But
within I think 10 minutes for Atletico, Simeone gets sent off as well. Arsenal were cruising in this one. They had so many chances, especially in that first half. And they Griezmann get it. They get it. Lacazette had one of his best games, I think, as an Arsenal player.
Yeah.
He should have had a hat trick, if we're being honest, though. He had a lot of chances that he just didn't put away. Wasn't clinical enough.
He's starting to show that it was worth the purchase. Maybe. A little bit.
We'll see. But Arsenal, I think the story with them, as we've seen a lot in Europe in the past, is unable to capitalize on their chances
and
giving away and domestically cheap away goals. Giving away cheap away goals. Koscielny, I have no idea what he's doing. Ospina, I have no idea what he's doing.
I remember after the game, somebody on Twitter said Koscielny would be like the eighth or ninth best defender in Serie A. Like, he just, like, really low.
It always comes back to Italy, doesn't it?
Yes, it always does. always.
So we'll see. I mean, it goes back to Madrid now. They don't concede a lot at home. I think they've only conceded something gross, like 4 goals all season at home.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Arsenal. It's going to be very tough.
My initial prediction was 2-1 Arsenal.
It's the last.
They could, I guess, still do
it's
that.
It's the last thing they're holding on to this year. Wenger's last season.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about Wenger being out.
Yeah, we're getting into domestic, so you have some England stuff in there?
Yeah.
We can talk about it then because they play Man U. Yeah. I want to talk about that. But, so it's his last year. You know, this is the last thing. This could be the perfect send-off, but yeah. You know, they have to get it done.
We'll see. Marseille-Salzburg. There's a handball goal by Tovin, which big enough deal. And that was the first goal. Marseille, though, you talk about Salzburg. They sort of got through just on a spree of goals against Lazio. They scored 3 goals in 6 minutes.
Marseille is a very solid and strong team.
Yeah. You have to think that Marseille, their league position isn't great right now. They're behind Monaco, and they're trying to qualify for Champions League there. Europa, if they're able to win, that's, as we know, automatic Champions League qualification. That would mean a lot for them.
Mean a lot for Arsenal, too.
Yeah. And, even Salzburg.
Yeah.
But I have to think that Marseille, 2-0, this was at home as well, so they're going away. I can't imagine them giving this lead up. Salzburg really needed to get at least one away goal, and they weren't able to do it. It was a super open game, though, and it could have happened for them, but it didn't. And that's sort of where we leave that.
Yeah, let's round up domestic. Calcio A, actually Serie A. Calcio A, it's disrespectful. No! My phone just died.
Nice. Well, we'll just
let's just keep going on here. The video may not be up, but Juve lost or Napoli lost to.
No, so I had.
Oh, okay. I see what you did.
Can you read?
Okay, so before we get into the weekend,
I wanted
action,
to highlight
before
the
Napoli. Napoli beat Juve 1-0. So
a late Koulibaly winner.
Yeah, huge. The whole place went nuts. This brought up questions. Can Napoli steal the Scudetto? And I thought that it was possible.
So I wrote this up today, and in parentheses, it's no.
Yeah.
Koulibaly, big moment.
Yeah.
I think the one takeaway from this game, though, Juventus looked way too conservative. I know that a draw, would have just been just fine for them. I mean, even if they were able to steal a late goal, that would have been fine. But I thought they were just way too conservative in this game.
Agreed.
And they invited too much pressure. They sort of invited this loss onto themselves, and that's rare from a team that has won 6 straight titles. And you have to think sort of doesn't feel that kind of pressure.
My boy Phil became a meme off of that. Did you see
because the yelling video?
The video on Twitter that was hilarious.
So for a few days we thought that it was back on and that Napoli were just a point behind and Juventus are coming into a tough stretch
coming into the weekend, Juventus plays Inter.
It gets even crazier because Juventus are down 2-1 to Inter, who Inter have a red card.
This is probably the only time I would ever root for Inter, and I use that very loosely. But yeah, like you said, 2-1 down.
So Icardi comes off.
I don't think Icardi should have came off.
No. Well, there's definitely some debate about that.
Teary-eyed, crying.
He wasn't teary-eyed. He was just frustrated. So Icardi comes off. Inter's clearly gassed because they've had to put up a big effort with a man down to come back and have a lead against Juventus. Perisic is gassed. You can just see it on every player. They're out of it. And this goal by Cuadrado is it's just a freak deflection that just kicks up off Skriniar. Handanovic just can only just watch as it sort of loops into the back post. And from that point on, I looked at Sarah, I was watching it. I said, there it goes. Like, Juve are going to come back and win this. And wouldn't you know, 2 minutes later, it's a beautiful Dybala free kick, you have to say. Higuain gets onto it, and it's done. It's 3-2. There's no way Inter are coming back.
My boy Pudgy Higuain.
Yeah. His first goal in a while in the Serie A. He hadn't been playing too well domestically.
Oh, what was that? What did you say?
He hadn't been playing too well domestically.
What was that?
Okay, well, what has Immobile done for Lazio?
He's the third highest scorer in Europe.
And Lazio's in fourth?
I don't care. What has he done for Lazio? He's been scoring the goals. Nah. What has Lazio been doing for Lazio? I don't know, not too much.
So what seemed like was going to be a huge result for Napoli turns into... They're still just a point behind at this stage.
This is the thing. Juve gets a win, so Napoli has to get a win. Yeah. They're playing Fiorentina.
So Napoli play the next morning, Sunday, and it's like, well, Napoli just got to go out and win now, and they're still only a point behind. And Juventus still have the tougher schedule. This is still very doable for them.
They get embarrassed.
I wouldn't say I was embarrassed, but Koulibaly gets a red card, I think, in like the 6th minute.
Ah, what a tragic hero. What a tragic hero.
I know, from hero to zero, truly from Koulibaly. You have to feel for him, honestly. It sucks. And I think it's done now. They end up losing 3-0 to Fiorentina.
God.
They had their opportunity. They've had multiple opportunities, let's be real, but they had their opportunity. They had the chance to... They beat Juventus. It's a huge result. They're only a point behind. They just got to get through because you have to imagine Juventus is going to drop points somewhere along the way.
And look what happened.
And they choke it. And it's all over now. Juventus is going to win. I just don't see...
No.
I don't see a way back for Napoli.
Unless somehow they get some help by Milan beating Juve in the Coppa Italia final. You know, and leave them, like, shattered because they lost to Milan. But I don't think...
Isn't that after the season?
No, it's right in the middle, right before the end of the season. Juve have like 2 games after it or something. Okay. Well, but Juve has like one of the easiest ends of the season, like ever.
They still have to play Roma, right? Though
that's like the only game they that's big.
I think just when there was one more difficult matchup. Maybe it was. I was just thinking.
I would check on my phone, but my phone's dead. So,
so Napoli lose. They look dejected.
Let's just get out of Italy. Italy's finally.
Each goal looked like a hammer blow for them. Liverpool Stoke 0-0.
We mentioned that.
So annoying. No clear handballs missed. Should have had a penalty, but Salah misses.
Let's move on from that.
Manchester United 2, Arsenal 1.
LOL.
I had LOL underneath this because what a joke. What an absolute joke. Fellaini is still a valuable player for Manchester United.
LOL.
After 4 years.
I can't believe that.
And I just... Me either. It's mystifying. It doesn't make sense.
You're talking about Mickey Mouse?
Yeah. I just don't get it. He scores a winner against Arsenal. The memes alone, mwah, beautiful. Langer, just... just can't do it. This was just the quintessential game. In the Premier League, because Manchester United, for how much they spent to play the way they do, it's so boring and it's just so lame. I don't care. I don't care about results. I want to be entertained when I watch just my sport, when I watch my team. They're number two still, and they're going to finish second, but whatever. It doesn't matter. They're still dependent on Fellaini to score.
I think it's hilarious that they trolled Wenger essentially with what they gave him. They basically gave him like this like trophy-esque look thing with Manchester United's crest at the top.
Yeah.
And then says from Sir Alex Ferguson and Jose Mourinho to Wenger for his accomplishments in the Premier League.
They definitely had to throw Ferguson in there because of their duels in, you know, like the early 2000s. And
honestly, I thought the scenes, like the pictures and everything, it was amazing. It's like three of the best managers of all time in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Like, all together at once, you know, one's ending his career, one's already ended his career, and one's getting close to the
one
end.
Should be out the door any second now.
Yeah. So
just kidding. Look, United, like, say what you will about them, about the way they play. They've beaten every team in the Premier League at least once this season. They've gotten results when they needed to. They've been the second best team in a league where Manchester City really ran away with it in the first half of the season. Weren't as strong in the second half.
And
we'll see what happens next year. I don't know that people should be super negative about them because I think that they still have a great team and they have the money, obviously, to throw around.
They just need the right coach.
I don't even know if Mourinho is the wrong manager for them. If I'm being honest,
Mr. Masterclass tactically park the bus for 85 minutes
and it gets them results.
It's not good to watch.
No, man. And it's not entertaining. And I like to be entertained by my teams.
I don't want to watch a Manchester United game half the time.
But the thing is, though, in any other year, for the most part, they would be challenging for a title still with their points totals.
That's true.
You know, like this is certainly an anomalous year in terms of Manchester City.
Dude,
what they've been able
game's
to do.
Gonna start soon. We
got
to finish.
We got at least 10 minutes. It'll be fine.
But I mean, Chelsea Swansea. 1-0. Chelsea won.
Super frustrating. They score within 5 minutes, and all hope was depleted from me that Liverpool were going to be saved and not have to sweat it out over this next week. So Chelsea keep their Champions League hopes alive. They still need to do a lot. They still need to win the rest of their games, which includes beating Liverpool, and they need Liverpool to lose, obviously, against them, and then lose to Brighton.
That's going
to
happen.
Ooh, let's not get into. I'd rather not.
Is that your trap game?
Well, no. So you know, we play Roma, and then we don't have to worry. We can play a full squad against Chelsea because we play on Sunday, and our Roma game is tomorrow on Tuesday. So we have, you know, 4 full days to be fine and rested, and then we just have to worry about Brighton, and then hopefully a Champions League final. So. Should be able to play a full team against them. It would be super poetic for Mohamed Salah, though, to score and break the Premier League goal-scoring record at Stamford Bridge.
The hopes and dreams of Chelsea at the same time.
That would be wonderful. That would be beautiful. And Swansea getting closer to relegation. The relegation battle is still on. West Brom certainly going down. Southampton had a big win over the weekend, which could see them out.
You know, all the leagues were pretty much wrapped up with their winners other than Italy, but it seems wrapped up now. Now relegation battles are going. And normally by this time in the year, the relegation battles are pretty much done, looking pretty set for the most part. Without the bubble one.
Stoke look like they're going down, and West Brom are almost certain to go down. It's sort of that last spot now.
Yeah, just like I said. So it's always that bubble fringe one that always switches up every now and then, and it may come down to the last day. And, you know, it's entertaining, but, you know, nobody really cares about who's going down. Oh, shout out, before this is done, shout out to Livorno for getting back into Serie B. I think that's good for Italian soccer. They haven't been in the top flight in a while, so they're looking like they're making their way up, you know, so I'm happy about that.
Nice. That's wholesome. We'll end it on a wholesome note. This has been Top Bins. We'll be back at the weekend, though.
I don't know if the video for this one will be up. Yeah. So I dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all right. You live and you learn.
Yeah,
some days you're Napoli, some days you're Manchester City, am I right?
We put the video up 1 week and no SoundCloud, now we got the SoundCloud and no video.
What do you want from us, huh? We're just two men.
I'm
Matt.
I'm Dom.
And we'll see you later.